to What's Your Dream, the podcast that explores the dreams, goals, and aspirations that drive us forward. Today, we have an inspiring guest, Michael D. Levitt. Michael is a global thought leader on HR, burnout, and workplace culture, and a certified CBT and NLP therapist. He was recognized as a top 50 global thought leader and influencer on health and wellness in 2023. Michael is a keynote speaker, executive coach, author, and the host of The Breakfast Leadership Show, a top 20 global podcast for thought leadership. He is deeply passionate about lifelong learning and personal development, believing every day offers a new opportunity to grow and evolve. Michael starts each day with meditation, journaling, and reading to stay grounded. At the Breakfast Leadership Network, he leads a collaborative team that values open communication and continuous feedback, helping organizations tackle burnout and enhance workplace culture. Join us as we explore Michael's journey, his passion for personal development, and the dreams that inspire him. Good morning, Michael. How are you doing today?
I am awesome. Really looking forward to our chat today.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much for coming on the What's Your Dream podcast. And we will dive in and figure out what some of those are.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. What is your biggest dream or aspiration?
That always changes and it evolves. It's not that it changes like I'm going in a completely different direction, but I think my current dream right now is for organizations to be healthy. And what I mean by that is it's just a great place to work. It's a great place for the leadership and the employees to come together and create and have an absolute blast doing it and creating just amazing products and services for their customers and doing it in a way where they feel energized and not drained. And unfortunately, there's so many organizations today where it just seems like people are just drained all the way from the frontline staff all the way to the CEO. And my dream is that that is no longer the case for companies.
Yeah. So what brought you to that? Were you one of those people?
Well, it started off with burnout. I was a burned out executive 15 years ago, and I was working in the healthcare industry and had a really, really bad bout of burnout, nearly cost me everything, including my life. And then after recovering from all the things that had happened because I was burned out, I realized that I needed to make some adjustments in my life and some significant ones. And I always warn people that, especially if they're dealing with burnout or high stress, majority of people do not need to reinvent their life, but in my situation, it was warranted because the way I was approaching life, my beliefs, my habits, all the things that I was doing was leading me to, a very destructive path for myself. So doing the 180 and going in a completely different direction was something that I needed to do. And I'm thankful that I did because it gave me clarity around so many things in my life and allowed me to do some great things and launch my own organization and do the great things I get to do.
Awesome. Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of people struggling with that for sure.
Yeah, it's a difficult time right now for a lot of people. You toss in inflation, the economy, global strife, you name it. There's so many different things that we can choose from that can really weigh us down. And it boils down to really having a strong mindset and making sure that you take care of yourself the best you can and look for the positives and find those positives in every aspect of your life that you can and lead by example.
Awesome. Do you think whenever it sounds like you go into organizations and kind of make a little bit of a turnaround process for the employees and the executives, do you feel like it's easier for you to make a change in the employees or a change with the actual executives in the organization?
I think, and I approach that you have to start from the top because the employees mimic what the executives are doing and following the direction that they're giving. So if the executives are burned out, then the direction that they're giving is not good. It might be overwhelming, especially their key people, which then you start seeing key individuals leave organizations because they don't want to be wiped out or worn out or hate going to work. That's just not an existence that people want to thrive in. And after the pandemic, a lot of people came to that conclusion. That's why you're seeing more and more people choose to do things differently. Whether it's taking a step back and maybe taking a lower paying job that's less stressful, or leaving the industry altogether that they're in. They're just like, no, I'm not going to tolerate, working in this type of environment. So there's been some big shifts when it comes to that. So if you start at the top and get their behaviors to change a little bit, it has a positive ripple effect.
Very nice. I would completely agree. What makes you feel grateful and full of joy today?
I think, and this again has changed over my years, but I think one of the things that I really enjoy doing is, we talked about this a little bit before we hit record, is just kind of stepping away from things and getting outside of the office or getting away from the Zoom screens and whatnot, and just getting back out into life, into nature. And it doesn't have to be a nature trail or the ocean or the mountains, although those are definitely helpful. But I find just, getting outside and just being present and just listening to what, the sounds around you are, and trying to keep your mind free of, whatever distractions and work that you're working on, goes a long way. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't clear my mind because my mind just keeps getting filled with ideas. And that's how your mind is supposed to work. A lot of people say, I want to clear my mind. It's like, you not necessarily can, because ideas come to your brain. You just can't. So instead of fighting it, you welcome it. You say, okay, this thought came to mind. Why did I think about that? And approach it with a childlike curiosity. Okay, why did I think about that situation at that company that I worked at 19 years ago that I have not worked for in years? Why did I have that anxiety moment, or why did that thought come to mind? What triggered that? But again, approach it not being angry, but just curious. Like, I wonder what set that off? Because those thoughts are going to come to your mind. So welcome them. Say, hey, thanks, thought. Thanks for coming in. That's not the reality that I'm in right now, but I appreciate you stopping by. And then you just move on from it, because those thoughts are going to come in. It's just a case of, they come in, you look at them. Are they useful right now? Are they true right now? Do they make sense? Or is it just something that, it could be something really silly, like just seeing a logo or a pattern or a shape or a color or even a smell. Any of our senses can bring back memories, sometimes good, sometimes maybe not so good. And it's just the case of they're there, saying, I don't want you being there. Well, okay, that's fine, but they are there. So, the quicker that you address them, the quicker they'll likely fade away into some other thought that comes to mind.
Absolutely. And triggers, I think, are put in our lives to help us heal from certain situations. So that way they, Great. And if it keeps showing up, then it's telling you something for sure. So I totally agree that you should acknowledge, right, that it's happening and let it go. But if it keeps showing up, there's a reason, and there might be something that you need to, do about it. I personally like inner child healing because of that whole idea of, if I can heal the younger me, then the older me is much better for it to begin with. So, yes, totally agree with that.
Yeah, when I was going through my burnout recovery, that's how I did it. I kind of went back to not necessarily my childhood, but I use childlike curiosity to review, okay, why was it important for me to work all those hours? What was I trying to prove? Who was I trying to become? What was the end result that I desired in all of this? What outcomes did I want to see that, created those things? Why did I make the choices that I made? Why did I not take time for proper meals and just ate fast food all the time? All the things that I did, it was just, asking myself, like a curious 3 or 4 year old would. And yesterday, my wife and I were at the zoo, and there was little kids around and all that. And you'd hear little kids asking, why is that? What's that? And they didn't know. They were curious. And I approached it the same way. It's like, why was that important to me? But I wasn't beating myself up. I was just genuinely curious, why was that important to me? And again, approaching things with the mindset of just trying to discover were very helpful in, providing me some enlightenment and also some clarity on, what I wanted my life to actually look like, and more importantly, what I didn't want it to look like.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. The next question is, what are the most significant lessons you've learned throughout your life, and how have they shaped you as a person?
Being a people pleaser, while noble, is probably not in my best interest. And I do identify as a reformed people pleaser. I wanted to do whatever I can to make life easier for people. And I did it to my own detriment, where I wasn't taking care of myself or crossed boundaries that I shouldn't have crossed, whatever the case may be. And to the point of just, not being helpful to myself and, putting myself and overcommitting myself and all of that. And learning that, allowing people to basically walk their own path. I mean, you can advise people, you can give them some guidance if you like, if they ask for it. But it's definitely their life to live, and it's their life to choose how they live. No matter how happy or frustrating it can be to watch somebody else do something that you feel is not in their best interest, you can speak your piece about it, do it in a way, in a loving, caring way, but you got to let them choose their own walk and their own path. And that was very difficult for me to learn that. It's still a lesson that I'm learning, even as I've, hit this time in my life, I have to check myself. But that was one of the things that really jumped out was, okay, I'm glad that I'm learning about being a people pleaser and how to address it and not do it so much, and take care of myself first. Because if you are your best version of yourself, when you do help others, they're getting such a better version of you than they would if you were fatigued, wiped out, burned out, or just overcommitted with all the things that we can overcommit ourselves with in life.
Absolutely. And I think, to me, what I've kind of learned, even just here recently, is that, that whole idea of trying to help other people through some of the situations in their life, a lot of times you're doing it from your own judgment and your own perspective. And that's not always the best case, right? I mean, even your kids, your spouse, your significant other, whatever it may be, it's like you're trying to do exactly what you would do. And it's just, sometimes it's just too hard to put yourself in their shoes and, have any advice. Sometimes you just need to listen, right? And not try to problem solve.
And sometimes that's all they need. They just need somebody to listen to them. They're not looking for advice or guidance. They just want to vent or basically get off their chest whatever they're struggling with and offer suggestions. And I had a conversation just a few days ago with somebody that was going through a situation, and I just listened. And when there was an opportunity, I said, "Have you thought about this?" I didn't say you should do this or anything like that. I said, "Have you thought about this as a potential option?" And they were like, "That actually makes a lot of sense." And I'm like, it happens occasionally. I might generate an idea or two that might be beneficial to somebody. But again, I approached it to, "Have you thought about this?" I'm not telling them they should, because I don't know all the information. They may say, "Yeah, I have thought about this and it won't work because of XYZ. Okay, then they've worked through it. All right, good. But it's me just basically making sure that I'm listening to them and not just, basically listen to understand instead of listening to respond is a great quote that I hear a lot. And it makes a ton of sense. Just, you don't have to respond. Just listen, seek to understand, ask some questions to get a little bit more clarity, and offer suggestions if they're open to it. And again, they may not be. They might just be, "I just need to vent." Okay, good. And let them vent. And they feel better. And that's what you needed to do. You helped them out.
Yep. And some people like whenever things are their own ideas. So kind of guiding them in that direction so they think the idea was theirs is always a good way too, right?
Yeah. Those people are called management. Just a yep. Side note there.
Yep.
Been there, done that.
Yep. Awesome. What inspires you and motivates you to keep going even when faced with challenges?
I love being creative, which is so, it's interesting for me because my original career was public accounting and creativity do not go together. It's debits and credits, black and white, numbers need to add up, all of that. So creativity is not necessarily welcomed in the accounting industry. But for me, just being creative and coming up with new concepts and new ideas, for how I answer questions on interviews or what I write about or what I talk about, whether it's on a podcast or on a stage or in books or whatever. Just going, okay, how can I add value to somebody that is in need of something, whatever subject it happens to be on? It's like, okay, is this providing value? Is this helping them? Will they walk away with something that could help them? And if the answer is yes, then you proceed. If it's just me getting on a soapbox and saying it should be this way or this way, that doesn't help anybody. And it certainly, all it does is stroke my own ego, and I definitely don't need to do any more of that. So for me, it's like, I love being able to come up with new ideas, new concepts, new things, new articles, just conversations. But again, it goes back to, you know, listening to see what people are struggling with or what they need. And if I have a way to create something that can help address that need, then, you know, it's my mission to do so.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, even going back to the whole nature conversation, it's like, that is my favorite way to get back into the right brain. And I think that if more people operated out of the right brain, the creativity, the creating versus the problem solving, we would be able to listen to our intuition and listen to our gut and figure out different opportunities and different things versus like staying in that left brain mini mind, thinking all the time, trying to do, you know, and then coming over here and actually just being silent. I mean, I've said it 100 times on this podcast. My favorite thing to do is meditate and just peace, just have peace.
Oh, I love that. And you know, I do it throughout the day in a variety of different ways. It can literally be just going for a walk and not having the earbuds in and listening to, you know, informational topics or music or whatever. Just, you know, take in the noises and just and meditate, and even, you know, be thankful for, okay, I'm hearing the HVAC system inside this building that's keeping the temperature comfortable for people. It's like, I think back to, okay, Mr. I think it was Carrier that came up with the indoor air conditioning. Well, you know, thanking him, long gone, of course, but thanking him for coming up with that invention to make things comfortable for people. Just, you know, little things, or birds chirping, or landscaping, or rivers flowing, or, you know, blue skies, or comfortable breeze, whatever. Just, it boils down to, when people are overwhelmed and they're burned out and all that, time and time again, they tend to be completely overcommitted with all kinds of aspects of their life. So, and a loved one of mine is going through this exercise right now of simplification. They just recently moved. They've downsized quite a bit. They're realizing they need to downsize a little bit more, but they're simplifying things. And they're just like, let's just simplify. And some people say, well, that's minimalism, or Greg McKeown's Essentialism, great book, by the way. But, you know, find out what's working for you right now. What are the things in life that are essential for you at this moment in time? Use those. And the other things that aren't essential, either donate them, or if it's physical items, or, you know, store them if you think you'll need them again. But ultimately, it's just the simpler you make your life, the easier it is to navigate through it. It's not an easy thing to do. And life is not meant to be easy. It's meant to challenge us and grow us. But the more uncomplicated you can make things, the easier time you'll have. It's just something that I've noticed over my life. And the more I focus on that, the easier life gets. And sometimes that means going for that walk or hitting that nature ravine, you know, in the middle of the day, or whatever it takes. You know, everybody's a little different, so find out what works for you and do it a lot.
Yeah, I think I was just sitting here thinking about what happened in my life yesterday. And there was a couple days ago, I just did a challenge last week for my business, and we did a 5-day challenge. And I was like, I looked outside and I was like, okay, what am I thankful for? What am I grateful for? I looked outside and I said, during the challenge, I said, I am so thankful for rain, because now I don't need to water my garden. And then I think back to yesterday, and I'm sitting in my basement while it's flooding. And I'm just like, did this really happen? Now I got to sit here and be thankful that there's so much rain that I'm sitting here, my basement is flooding. So it's like, you know, kind of going back to the whole, like when you're faced with challenges, it's like, I could have, what I really wanted to do, like the little Trisha in me wanted to sit on the floor and just let the water rush in. And it was like, cause there was nothing I could do. I mean, my sump pump completely quit working. My backup wouldn't keep up with how much rain it was. My backyard was a pond, and it was like, okay, so what can I do? What can I do to make this better? And there was really nothing in that moment. And I think it's trying to figure out how to react in those challenges. And it's like, my basement, this is the fifth time now that it's flooded. This is my second house that it's flooded in, and now it's flooded here twice. And so it's like, what's going on? What's showing up in my life over and over again for some sort of reason? And even when you're saying simplify, what did that make me do yesterday? That made me throw a bunch of stuff away. It made me simplify the stuff that's in my basement. So that's what I was saying. It's like when life kind of keeps showing up and showing you the same things, maybe you need to take a look and figure out what it is and why it's showing up.
Yeah, I had a vision of when something like that. And I had, this was many, many years ago, I did have, I was in a house and the basement, we had a ton of rain and it flooded, not completely, but there was enough of an area there. So my first wife came downstairs with one of our kids and I was standing there and they're like, okay, you know, they were thinking, and back then I was not the, you know, happy go lucky person. I was kind of grumpy and all that, but thankfully I had this, you know, moment of sanity. And I literally was just standing there with, and there was the, you know, big pool of water in the, one of the rooms. And I was standing there with a fishing pole and the line of water. Thankfully there was no fish, but they saw that, and it was such, it screwed with their mind a bit. They're like, what are you doing? Fishing? I'm not a good fisherman, so I don't think I'm going to catch anything, but you'll catch zero fish if you don't put the line in the water. So I thought, well, let's try and see if I catch anything. And they're shaking their head, but it was just one of those silly moments of, you know, okay, well, what can I do here? Well, I can find some humor in this. No one's hurt. I was thankful to have a basement. As silly as that sounds, that is like, okay, I'm thankful that I have a basement that could flood. I don't want it to flood, but I'm thankful that I have a home and a basement that would flood. You know, now he's like, okay, well, how can we do that to prevent it? Water is one of my favorite things on the planet. We use it for so much. It is essential. Without it, we don't exist. The oceans, cleaning, cooking, you name it. It's the ultimate multifunction tool. It really is. But water has this thing where it's like, it needs to go somewhere. It's meant to flow. And when we have so much rain that it's like, okay, the dirt and soil is saturated. I have to go somewhere else. Where am I going? Oh, there's a basement over there. Let's go there. And it just does it. And you can get mad and upset, but it doesn't stop it. You just go, eventually the rains will stop. We'll deal with it. You know, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, you've had the ability to address, you know, a flooded basement before. So you know the routine and what needs to be done. But you said something else, like, okay, maybe I should purge some more. And now that I know that this house is prone for floods, then I need to take the necessary steps to, if I do store anything in the basement, that it's stored in such a way where it'll minimize loss or water damage or whatnot. But, you know, keep your, you know, your swimming gear and things like that down there, you know, that normally gets wet anyway. So it's, you know, there's always options. But no, it's sometimes you just got to sit in that pool and go, yeah, it'll stop eventually.
Yep. Well, I think yesterday we cracked open a bottle of wine and ended up just sitting there talking about how we should get our paddle boards out and start paddling through the water. Because, I mean, you do. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to make a joke out of things. And like you said earlier, bring that childlike experience back, you know?
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. What do you hope to leave behind in the world as your legacy? And this is, I always have kind of a caveat to this question. And it's like, what would you want people to say about you at your funeral?
For me, I'd want them to say he had a huge heart and he wanted to leave this world better than he found it. And, you know, that could take on all kinds of different meanings depending on when you knew me. Because, you know, in my life, you know, there have been, you know, people that have come and gone in my life, and they know different versions of me. But my hope is that I touched each of them in a positive way. However they needed me to be with them, support them, encourage them, listen to them, whatever the case may be. I'm thankful for every experience of my life, the good, the bad, and different, because they shaped me who I am, and I'm still being shaped, still have things to do. And, but yeah, that would be my hope, is that they would recognize that I just wanted to make the place better than I found it, you know, much like a camping analogy, but it's, there's a lot to that.
Yeah. Awesome. 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 All right. What is one action you take every day to get closer to your dreams?
For me, is just being as organized as I possibly be, have a plan, have goals that I want to accomplish every day. Understanding that sometimes things happen and you're not able to address those things, could be a flooded basement, for example, or anything like that. You're like, oh, I wasn't able to do that today. But if I can do something that helps move initiatives forward, or even on a holiday weekend, you know, book something, do something fun, out of the ordinary, something that I haven't done before, or something I don't get to do a lot. He said, yeah, yesterday went to the zoo. I haven't been to the zoo in quite a while. So it was nice to get out, nice, beautiful day to go for a walk, see the animals, see the uncaged animals known as children running around. They're not animals, but some of them act like it. But no, it was a fun day. But again, that's just live each day as it is. Don't overcommit myself to it, because we can do that easily. But just, you know, have a rough plan for what I'd like to accomplish, but have the flexibility and the understanding that sometimes things don't happen the way you want them to. You set the goal, and then you start. And again, days can be different than what you plan them out to be, but sometimes that's for the best.
Absolutely. All right. I have one more question. Are you good with that?
I am.
Okay. What is the significance behind Batman and the vintage car behind you?
Okay, Batman, favorite character ever since I was a little boy. My parents took me to see Adam West and Burt Ward, who played Batman and Robin in the TV series when I was a little kid. I've always loved the character. The car is a 1970 Ford Maverick. My dad ordered it for me when I was a baby, and said that when I grew up, he would give it to me. Well, I didn't get it until after my father passed, a little over 4 years ago, and I was helping pack up the house where my mom and dad lived, because they were moving back home to where my brother lives, and was going through stuff, and I found it, and he had never given it to me. So I went, that's coming home with me. So that it's been on my to-do list to get for years, and 4 years ago, I put it up there. So there's that, and it's kind of hard to see behind there too. There's a 3D print of Joe Louis's fist. I'm originally from Detroit. And in downtown Detroit, there is a statue of Joe Louis, the late boxer's fist. And it's a symbolism of Detroit. And people that are from Detroit, they understand this. It's like Detroit has been, you know, gotten knocked down for decades. And there's finally starting to see a resurgence, which I'm absolutely thrilled about. You know, businesses are growing and thriving. People are moving into the city. Last year, their population in the city of Detroit grew for the first time since the mid-1960s. They've had a constant decline of people moving out of the city. That there actually were people moving in, which is something that I quite frankly never thought I would see. And I'm thrilled for that. It means the city is turning around and making it a good place for businesses and people to live and thrive. So it's just one of those reminders that when life knocks you down, you get back up. And I had it made several years ago, just kind of a reminder of, you know, where I'm from. And you know, so little trinkets that I put up there just to kind of remind me of where things are.
Very nice. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, for people, I just want them to design their life the way that their life should be, and for them. And sometimes that's a discovery where people don't necessarily know, and that's fine. But there's ways to figure that out. On my website, you know, I share all kinds of business resources, and burnout prevention resources and all of that. So breakfastleadership.com is a great place to find me. Just redesigned the website. So it's simple. There's YouTube videos and then my podcast and then articles that I write. And then in the menu item, there's some other things that they may find interesting. So, but for me, it's just, helping people out wherever they happen to be and, giving them either tools on how to better run their business or how to live the life that they want to live. And it's, again, my mission just to leave the place better than I found it. And that's one of the many ways that I do so.
Very nice. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Awesome.